Initiation between Guru Diksha and Guru Shaksha.
Shiksha.
Relation between Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru.
Diksha
means Shiksha.
What is the difference?
What's the difference? Thank you for that question. Nice question. What's the difference between Shiksha and Diksha Guru? One thing is there's no difference. One answer is there's no difference because the Diksha Guru also goes Shiksha. Because in the definition of bhakti itself, bhakti doesn't begin with chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Bhakti doesn't begin with selling bhagavatams in the Safeway parking lot. Or the A&P or whatever, Big Food Town or whatever your local food store is. And bhakti doesn't begin with chanting Hare Krishna or even studying Bhagavatam. What is bhakti? What is Rupa Goswami? Rupa Goswami is the father of bhakti. How does he describe bhakti? How he says there are 64 limbs of bhakti. 9 limbs we've probably heard about. Hearing, chanting, remembering, shravanam, kirtanam, visvasmaranam, hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping murti, etc. Serving Vaishnavas, doing prakma, offering prayers, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, becoming a lover, having Gopi Bhav type consciousness. These are 9 limbs of Sushruta, Ravana Vedanam, Karpanya. But he says that's later. Bhakti begins Guru Pada Shraya. Bhakti begins with Guru, not chanting Hare Krishna, not studying Bhagavatam, not selling Bhagavatam, not worshipping murtis. If you always see some places, they get murtis, they start doing puja, they start saying Hare Krishna, start saying Bhagavatam, don't have a guru. So all they're doing is making seva vras and nama vras. Because you have to start bhakti bhakti begins on a foundation called sambandha. Sambandha means the foundation of bhakti is based on knowledge. A building is based on a foundation. Make a basin, make a foundation, then you go up. So sambandha, then abhidya. Abhidya means practice. Practice means deity worship. Practice means chanting Hare Krishna. Practice means worshipping murti. Practice means offering your food. First study, then everything's like not following Rupa Goswami. So it gets all confusing result. Because they start off and create bad habits because they don't know what they're doing. So he says, first you take Guru Pada Shraya, surrender to Guru, then what happens? Diksha Adi Shikshana. Second thing is you take Diksha, third thing is you take Shiksha from this Diksha Guru. Fourth thing is you Guru Vishram being a Guru Seva. You serve the Guru with intimacy mixed with respect. Vishrama, Shrama means respect, Abhi means without respect. So it's respect and no respect. It's respect with affection. You have loving mood, but you also, he's Bhagavan, he's Shakshadari, he's a representative of Bhagavan, I'm a das, I'm a servant. And you have certain borders and certain parameters that you work in, and behavior standards that you follow. So that's called Vishrama. Then the fourth thing is Sarvart Manavartate, that's the fifth thing. All the first five limbs of bhakti are about establishing a relationship with Guru and Sadhus, and studying, getting Shiksha, it means getting knowledge. That's all from Diksha Guru. So there's one answer to your question, there's no difference between Shiksha and Diksha. Because Diksha Guru gives Shiksha.
But it has much wider meaning. I mean, Guru initiation could be in some karmic rituals or to some mantra meditation or to many different paths, including...
Well, Diksha, I'm just saying the function of the Guru is to give Shiksha, but the actual Diksha process is what you're asking about. The Diksha Guru engages the disciple in the Diksha process. So what does the Diksha process mean? It means the Guru takes the disciple through 5 samskaras. He performs 5 samskaras to establish that jiva in spiritual consciousness. One is called Nam Samskar, one is called Mantra Samskar, one is called Mantra Samskar.
Ijja, worship. Ijja.
Ija Samskara Puja, one is called Tilak Samskara, and Vaishnav Chinna Samskara. What does that mean? It means he gives you mantras. Gopal, Diksha mantras in Gaudiya Sampradaya are receiving Gopal mantra and Kam Gayatri. These are Diksha mantras described in Hari Bhakti Vilas and Gopal Thapanya Upanishad and Brahma Samhita and Madhyalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are Diksha mantras. Hare Krishna mantra is not a Diksha mantra. That's the first point. So he gets Diksha mantras. Then he gets a name, Das or Dasi. If you already have a name, your name is, you're some Indian person, your name is Shiv Prasad Agarwal, you get the name Shiv Prasad Das. Because Shiv Prasad is the name for Krishna. Your name is Gopal Gupta. You become Gopal Das. You don't have to change the name, you just have to add Das or Dasi. Like some people have, Indian ladies have spiritual names, or her name is Anuradha, or Yamuna, or Arundhati, or Parvati. You got the name Parvati Dasi? No big deal. Dasi, what non-sanskara means, you get the name Das or Dasi, which is given by Guru. Jivara Swarupaya Krishna Arundhati Das. And third thing, Vaishnava Chinna. You get the marks of Vaishnava Chinna Samskara. If you take South Indian Vaishnava Diksha, you get branded on your shoulders. With a hot brass rod, they put a tattoo, like a tattoo, they melt into your shoulder. They put a chakra and a conch shell right in left shoulder. For men, I don't think for women they don't do. You know?
Yeah, women also do.
Wow, I didn't know that. I was thinking it wouldn't do that. That's pretty austere. I mean, men can bear pain, you know. You hear about men kshatriyas, you don't hear about women kshatriyas too much. Okay, whatever. You get, it goes off all the time. Thank you. So you get the chin of the Kantimala. We don't get conch shell branded on our shoulder. conch shell chakra. But we get, the Guru gives us Kantimala. Then we Urva Punja, Tilak Samskara. And then the Tilak Samskara is the Tilak, which is a mark of your part of your family line. Tilak. Vaishnava Tilak is Urva Punja, and Shiva Tilak is horizontal. I don't know what a horizontal word is. How do you say horizontal? In Sanskrit, Hindi. Anyway, that's Shiva Tilak, and this is Vaishnava Tilak. Urva means going up. Urva, going up. Urva. So that's it. So when you get the Diksha mantras from the Diksha Guru, those mantras establish your relationship with Krishna. Definition of Diksha is defined in Bhakti Sandarbha. You get Bhagavat Srupgyan and you get the Bhagavat Srup Visheshgyan and Atma Visheshgyan. The Guru, in the Diksha mantras, the Guru gives you, he gives you specific knowledge of your relationship with Krishna and specific knowledge about your identity as a jiva. And in Atilila chapter 6, Lord Chaitanya describes Diksha. Diksha Kali Atma Samarpan. She says, Diksha Kali Atma Samarpan. Chit Ananda Maya Deha. A Prakriti Deha. When you get Diksha mantras, your body becomes spiritual body. Because in that spiritual body, you serve Krishna. So this, only the Diksha Guru does this. Diksha Guru doesn't do all this. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So Shikshu just gives you some more instructions how to understand everything that Shikshu Guru did. But generally Shikshu Guru will give you all the Shikshu A to Z and that you're like one good shopping mall. You go to one shopping mall, you get food, you get clothes for your wife and your kids and yourself, and you buy your food and your dog food and your parakeet food. And your canary food, and your fish food for your fish tank, and your turtle food, for turtles, pet turtles, cat food, whatever you need, you get one big ball. So you have one proper guru, you get everything from there. You get Bhakti Tava, you get Bhav, you get Ras, you get Siddha, you get everything from one guru. But in the absence of one, in the absence of this guru, then who do you take shelter of? And then Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami give specific guidelines how to choose their next teacher, the next mentor, in the absence of, if you need one, in the absence of your guru. If you feel the absence of your guru. Some people, after the guru leaves, say they didn't leave. It's called apricot. Apricot means not manifest. Guru never dies. Guru never lives. Living and dying is material concept. Guru is nitya. Jiva is nitya. Bhagavan is nitya. And the disciple's relation with Guru is nitya, eternal. So Guru manifests one time, manifests once to the Jiva, and never becomes unmanifest. Once you see Kai Krishna's darshan, you'll see him all the time. You know, when you become siddha, you stay siddha. You don't become unsiddha. When you go to Krishna, it's eternal. You don't come back to non-eternality, into Maya Jagat. Is that clear?
Yes.
You have more understanding, or well,
much more. Yeah. Especially Guru as eternal principle that represents the connection between divinity and individual.
Yeah, the Diksha Guru is that eternal bond, connection, link. Yeah. You mentioned the word principle, the Guru principle, and some acharyas, they take it, like Narottam Das Thakur and Lokanath Goswami. Narottam writes a bhajan about Guru and uses specific words in Bengali which are in present tense. He says, Chakru Dano Diyoye Jami Jami Prabhu Sei. And this word Sei, S-E-I, means you are my master, you, Lokanath Goswami, are my one and only master, birth after birth. So there he's not talking about principal guru, he's talking about the personality of guru named Lokanath Goswami. So from the conception of Narottam Das Thakur, my guru explained to me that the disciple-guru relationship is nitya, that the guru will come back life after life until the disciple gets liberation. And ISKCON's founder, Srila Prabhupada, presented this same idea. When disciples asked Prabhupada, when you leave, you go to the spiritual world, what's going to happen to us? Will you come back for us? Will you come back for us until we get liberated? He said, Prabhupada said, yes, I'll come back, but don't make me come back. Do your work, do your business now, finish your business. Become pure devotee this life and come to me, come to Goloka and join me. You all guys come up here, I'm not coming back there. Don't make me come back here. I'll wait up there for you to come to see me. So get it together, get serious. But he said both things. He said, I'll come back and I won't come back. So the idea is that you're saying it's a principle. And some people present it like that also. Some acharyas say the guru gets liberated, he doesn't come back. But Chandogya Upanishad, which is quoted, which is, I have the whole book in my locker, in the fourth part, third part, it says, when one becomes siddha, when a jiva becomes siddha, becomes sadhana siddha, he can expand 1, 2, 3, up to 1,020 different forms. So when if the guru does go back to the spiritual world, as he leaves the body, we assume that he does. So say the guru goes to the spiritual world as he leaves his body, He can stay in the spiritual world and sit in his room. He also expand another form and come back next life and catch you. Pull you by the beanie, by the seeker, whatever you got hanging up there. Whatever you got up there, seeker or beanie, whatever you got there, and pull you up there. Baba! Sanyasi Baba! Jai Radhe! Welcome! So principle, but you know, love, no one wants love to be a principle. Love is a principle. Love the principle, not the person. Love is a feeling which is generated by living beings. I said living beings, that includes cats, dogs, mice, monkeys, dogs. Lions, people love lions, tigers. If you have pet tigers, pet lions, you see. They have movies about it all the time. So wherever there's jiva, there's love. Mother birds love their baby birds. Mother monkeys love their baby monkeys. Because there's jiva there. The honeybees love the queen bee. They make sure she's fat. They bring her lots of honey and lots of pollen. The fear she gets fatter and fatter. She's so fat. Queen, you know, she's a queen, you know, get fat. You know. You ever see a skinny queen? That's what bees mean. King Henry VIII was so big, he was a huge guy, you know. Okay, we'll see.